grace, you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Ezekiel passage is probably one of the most famous in all of Scripture. And it's famous because of how it plays on the heart. The picture that it paints is one of complete devastation. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Not dead bodies, or even skeletons of identifiable individuals, just random bones. And there were many of them, and they were very dry. Whatever caused the vision had happened a long time ago. The carcasses had been picked clean. The wind had dried them up. Within the context of the vision, this field of bones is the house of Israel. At the end of the monarchy, at the start of the exile, the entire sweep of the history of Israel appears to be over. And this is what it comes to. A field of dry bones. The patriarchs and the promises, the law and the prophet, David and Solomon, and the temple worship, very dry bones. Unidentifiable. But why it plays on the heart is not because of the story of Israel, however powerful that might be. Why it plays on the heart is what it might say about us. If the chosen people of God can come to dry bones, we certainly can. And it's not like the signs aren't there. There are, of course, safe things to talk about. Things that don't really touch us. Like how large of a portion of the church has abandoned the truth for lies. But that really doesn't touch us because we either take pride that we haven't or we don't think the doctrine really matters. We can talk about the ways that the unity of the church has been broken down. But we guard our hearts on that one by focusing on large, impossible things. Schisms rent asunder and heresies distressed. Instead of focusing on the ways that we rip apart our local unity. Like no longer remembering a Sabbath day and keeping it holy with our brothers and sisters. But then, you start to get to the things that do cut to the heart. The absence of our family, which often hardens the heart towards others that are present, and the mission that is at our door. The lack of zeal, such that we can barely keep our own selves evangelized. The fear not of the Lord, but of men and what the next 5 years might do. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, and we are clear cut off. Our English translations take away some of the power of that lament as it is bulldozed away from its chant structure. Dried up our bones. We ourselves have no strength. Perished our hope. The future generations have been carted away into exile in Babylon or Egypt or Sodom or however we want to label it today. Cut off, we ourselves. The prophets are silent, the temple is fallen, the kings are no more. And what does God do? He makes us look at it. He brought me out in the Spirit. And he has the nerve to ask, Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel's answer better be our answer. We better not jump to an easy triumphalism. Oh, the gates of hell shall never prevail. True. Satan has been judged. But Israel can be reduced to a remnant. So can the church. It's happened before. But neither are we without an answer. Staring at the field of bones does not give us the right to despair. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. But it was from dust that the Lord formed us originally. And the Lord breathed life into the dust, and we lived. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Son of man, can these bones live? Oh, Lord God, you know. God, what is your intent? Are we to be a byword among the nations, a laughingstock? Look at what faith in the God of Israel produces, a field of dry bones. Are you forever going to withhold your word and spirit? Or will you breathe out as you did of old? God, you've brought us here. What is your intent? You know. And whatever it is, the judgments of the Lord are righteous and just altogether. But speak them. Let us know. And God said, prophesy. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And now I want to pause for a second to consider the ridiculousness of this command. There are no ears on these bones, yet the word of the Lord comes and is heard. Prophesy to the bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come around you. And notice that the proclamation, the prophecy, is a promise. I, the Lord, will do this. When you, Israel, are so dead that you are nothing but a valley of dry bones, I will do this. You are right. Your bones are dried up. And your hope has perished. And you have cut yourselves off. But the Lord will do this. And you shall live. And when you do, you shall know that this is the work of the Lord. It comes to us as that proclamation, as that promise. It asks not for strength from us, but faith. The Lord has promised, and God keeps his promises. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And that's always the first step. Faith comes by hearing. Proclaim the word. While you were a dry pile of dry bones, dead in your sins, Christ came for you and spoke over you. Father, forgive them. Christ speaks over you in the words of the sacrament, giving you his body and blood, covering you with his flesh. And behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and the body of Christ assembled with his own flesh. Come together at his word. But there was still a problem. There was no breath in them. Maybe we know the letter. Maybe we know the things that put together a good club. You can have all the flesh, but without the breath, without the spirit, it does nothing. Prophesy to the breath. Say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come that they might live. And it's the Spirit that gives life. The Spirit spoken to you at your baptism, the Spirit pronounced in that absolution, the Spirit preached in the Word, the body of Christ has been given the Spirit to live within them, to stand on its feet, an exceedingly great army. Can these bones live? God's resounding answer is yes, they do live. Can these bones live? I have no answer of my own. I have only been sent to prophesy. Today, here and now, the prophecy is the promise. God has sent his only Son for you. This Jesus could raise Lazarus after he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. He's the God who granted Sarah children when she was 99. This Jesus is the resurrection and the life. This Jesus works by death and resurrection. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And that's God's promise to you. Do I know if this particular field of bones shall live? Depends upon if they hear that promise. And we do not harden our hearts to its call. But it's not because God withheld his word. Because the promise of God has been fulfilled in Christ. And it has been given to you in word and sacrament. Can these bones live? Tomorrow, that promise becomes its surety. You shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, and I will put my spirit within you. Today we have the down payment of that spirit. Tomorrow its fullness. Today we see the promised land like Abraham by faith from afar. Tomorrow I will place you in your own land. Today, God has given us flesh and restored our hope and reconnected us to the great cloud of witnesses. Tomorrow, we shall know. Today, we daily die and rise. Tomorrow, we enter eternal life. Today, we struggle. Tomorrow, the victory. For the Lord has spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. And God keeps his promises. Can these bones live? They already do. Amen.